better time than now.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to the latest edition of the Radcast. Hey guys, what's up? This is Ryan Alford. Welcome to another edition of the Radcast. We've got a rad founder today. Mobile Monkey, you may have heard of it. I've heard of it because I'm trying to get my damn Instagram messaging figured out. He's also the founder of WordStream. Larry Kim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Cool, man. Well, I mean, I'm not going to turn this into, I know you've got people that can help me through customer service, but I've got to get my Instagram automation. I got approved. I'm going through it. We're going to get to some of the functions of Mobile Monkey, but is it going to be a lifesaver for me? Am I going to love it as much as I think I will?
Look, I think that Instagram is an incredible platform for, you know, getting your content in front of people, but I think it's an incredibly terrible platform for turning that engagement into like leads or traffic to your website. And, you know, what's so interesting about this new Instagram direct messaging automation that you're talking about here is that it's for the first time in over a decade, you know, Instagram is allowing creators to tap into all that exposure that they're providing you and being able to turn that into leads or traffic to your businesses to grow them. And so from that perspective, you know, other than Instagram ads, there really isn't any other you know, way to do that. This is still technically an organic thing, like this direct messaging automation. It's not a paid thing. So I think it is a game changer. I think like you can start weaving calls to action, like in the content that you're producing, to be more deliberate, to asking users to interact with you through the DMs. And then in the DM automations, you can then, you know, drive them to the links, capture emails, do whatever the heck you want to do there.
Yeah, it's been the biggest pain for me. I own an agency and I'm in the B2B space, but most of my personal branding has grown through LinkedIn the last 7 years. And it's been a blessing and a curse because it's not an easy transition, exactly as you said, into leads for B2B just by simply the interface and everything else. So I think it's going to be a game changer, and I want to come back to that. I do want to give for our audience at least, and I know you do a lot with Clubhouse. I've seen you there, obviously, and really appreciate you coming on. I know you're a busy man, but do a lot of podcasts, and people have probably heard of you or heard of Mobile Monkey. I definitely have been on the platform for a while and seeing its praises to a lot of our clients and otherwise, but maybe give everyone that, you know, Cliff's Notes version of kind of your background and everything you've done. I know you've done a lot.
Sure. I'm a tech entrepreneur. I build marketing software companies. So my first company was WordStream, and that is actually the world's largest pay-per-click advertising software company in the world, managing over $1 billion of ad spend for tens of thousands of customers globally. And I had the great adventure of starting that from literally nothing and growing that to hundreds and hundreds of employees, and eventually selling it. Like it did over, you know, $75 million in revenue the year before last, and sold that business back in 2018. To Gannett, that's like the USA Today company, for $150 million. And that was awesome.
Yes, please. Sign that check. Did it cash? Did you cash it or did you just put it in the bank?
No, it's all wire transfers. So those big checks are only for lotteries.
Oh, so okay. I think that they brought you a big one, you know, like, yeah. Right. Larry Kim, luckiest man in the world or smartest man in the world, $150 million just for you, just for playing the WordStream game. Yeah.
You know, and when you do something like that, it's like, look, part of you are wondering if that's, was luck, like you just said, luckiest man or smartest man is what you said. And so kind of as a dare to myself, I started another company to see if it was possible to, you know, replicate the success. The company's called Mobile Monkey. It's in the messaging space. So it's you know, messaging tools for omni-chat, meaning like will, you know how like there's all these different messaging platforms like Facebook Messenger, SMS, Instagram, WhatsApp, website chat, all these different platforms that marketers use to, you know, communicate with their customers. And there's new ones popping up every day, like, I don't know, TikTok or even Clubhouse is coming up with their own direct messaging API. So it's just, the idea here is Mobile Monkey is just allowing you to access the messages from all of those messaging sources in one inbox. Okay. And then providing automations to automatically answer and prioritize the different messages to come into your inbox. So it's just like a kind of a platform for messaging. And the thing that I think you're interested in is just this new support for, you know, Instagram messaging and automation, which is kind of the new kid on the block, because you know, they've been around for, Instagram's been around for over a decade, and they've their direct messaging capabilities is really crap.
It sucks.
But look, just going back to what you said earlier there, you were talking about how you do LinkedIn and it's valuable for business from a business perspective. But can you imagine doing LinkedIn if they didn't have like the in-mails and the ability to reach out to people in an easy way? You know, how crappy that would be and how difficult it would be to actually, you know, do business on the platform, like as a business operator or an entrepreneur. It would be just like a vanity network with, well, it would be Instagram basically. And
yeah.
for business people, who, you know, wouldn't be able to, you know, easily communicate and stuff like that. So it just, yeah, this is a really exciting new development for Instagram. And I just think that so the thing that people need to understand is this is not for it's not changing the Instagram interface that you use today. So the app experience that you have in terms of messaging will just be as crappy as it was before. OK, so that nothing is changing there. But what is changing is that Instagram is allowing third-party tools developers like Mobile Monkey the ability to access those messages and to process them and to send on your behalf, you know, through a third-party tools platform like Mobile Monkey. And so, you know, using that, we can now create automations just like we do for, you know, Messenger or SMS or web chat, but on Instagram. So that's what's changing.
A lot to unpack there. I want to, at least for our audience, because of the success you've had, you know, and I know we could devote the entire episode to this, but I do want to, you know, provide value, you know, to our audience around you scaled WordStream to a gigantic company. You had 150 million sell to Gannett. You're building Mobile Monkey. I don't know how, if you can speak to any of its growth and things like that, but I'd love to just any of the pains, gains, suggestions of people out there scaling business, and what has enabled you to what seems as though one definitive success and what looks like another home run happening with Mobile Monkey. I mean, any tips or ways to condense that into some suggestions or just even the pains of it? You know, I'd love to hear a little bit more about it.
Oh, so building these businesses is like very rewarding in the end, but while you're in it, it's the most frustrating experiences of your life. Okay, and I think what's helped me a lot is perspective. So my perspective on this company building and entrepreneurship is that you're usually wrong. Okay, like, you know, most of the ideas and campaigns and initiatives that you bring to the table, you know, maybe 1 or 2 or 3% of them will actually work and be successful. And, you know, 95, 96, 97% of the time, they'll go nowhere. Okay. And so you have to kind of view, you know, all your failed initiatives from that lens of like, well, it wasn't realistic to kind of believe that it was going to be like one in campaign and done sort of thing. It's like you have to try out so many different things. You have to change so many different like angles and you know, what are you building? How are you marketing it? You know, who are you selling it to? And you know, the idea that you're going to be correct you know, on any one of those things, you know, initially is like totally very implausible. Now, sometimes you get these kind of crazy success stories where, you know, they crash their car into a gold mine and they don't really realize how lucky they were.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like Twitter is one of those examples where they have like such crappy management, but they just crash the car into a gold mine and they don't realize how hard it is to come up with an idea like that. So it's that perspective. And then once you have that perspective that, okay, well, most of the things aren't going to work and only a few things are actually going to work, well, then it kind of forces you to think a little differently. You have to be a little more skeptical about the time and effort that you're putting into different projects and initiatives, knowing that it's likely not going to work, right? So one of the challenges I find, one of the foibles of people who are less successful is that they overcommit to futile endeavors. So meaning like maybe they're engaging in some marketing tactic, which is, you know, it's not hurting the company, but it isn't really helping the company. Okay. And they might continue to pursue that, you know, campaign. This is an example. They might continue to do that, that work, you know, regardless of whether or not it's making a meaningful impact on the underlying business. You see what I'm saying? So like, if you have the perspective of being very suspicious of the value of the, you know, different company initiatives that you're bringing to fruition, then one of the side effects, the positive side effects, is that I have a tendency to kill what I call the donkey projects, the projects that just suck up a lot of time and energy and, you know, really don't move the ball forward at all. And conversely, it kind of focuses your attention on sort of the few initiatives, that really do, you know, move the ball forward. If I'm thinking about my last business, WordStream, you know, there's really just one or two campaigns that really made a difference, like in terms of making the company that it was. And the rest of the features and functions and marketing campaigns and sales campaigns and support campaigns that we did over a 10-year period, you know, it was just noise. So it's just being able to, you know, find the leverage, kill the donkeys, and the perspective that most of the stuff that you try is unlikely to be the winning idea, if that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And I followed, you know, your marketing approaches, this unicorn versus donkey, and I see you applying it to real world life as well with your businesses. So it seems to transcend not only campaigns, but also potentially broader things within the company, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Just take any company, okay? Like, or any, think about like anything, like your life. Like, you know, it's a lot of, like every minute is the same, you know, like in terms of time, but certain moments, you know, are much more valuable and impactful than other moments. You know, it's the same thing with the companies, you know, like a company like Amazon, they're really just known for, you know, three or four bets.
Yeah, you right.
Know, like Prime and AWS and, mm-hmm. you know, the Kindle, like there's a few really killer unicorns that they discovered. And you know, the rest is just sort of the marketplace, like the seller marketplace. And the rest is just sort of,
I think they detour quickly off of those. It seems, behind the scenes, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like they're practicing this kind of mentality of, you know, trying a lot of interesting ideas, but failing and, you know, finding the leveraged ideas. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. I've been curious. I grew up, I've been in the ad game for 20 years. I worked in Manhattan, large accounts, Verizon, the NFL, like huge accounts. Now we work with small to medium businesses for the most part. But I kind of grew up in this brand era, big brands, branding. And, you know, I think of you, and I know you don't market yourself this. I'm not going to say that you are, but I think of you as a performance marketer in some way, or a, you know, more, you know, with all your testing and multiple variables, you're a true digital marketer, you know, like you're a scientist, you know, in a lot of ways. At least that's what I see from you and your content and reading and all those things. And I do, I always want to ask people like you how you feel about branding, you know, building brand versus what is driving a sale today. ROI, baby, ROI, ROI. You know, like, how do you do you discern those things? Is branding just a waste of time to you, like overtime activity? I'm always curious when I talk to someone that's so, you know, down the path of science and metric and all those things.
So great question. I think my thinking on this has evolved tremendously since, you know, starting out. Today, my opinion is that there's nothing more important than your brand. Okay. That it is the, you know, it is a all growth hacky, you know, ROI experiments is totally meaningless. And all that really matters is the brand. This has become more and more important over the last 5 or 6 years, because it used to be that those were two different worlds, so that there was a branding world and a digital marketing world, and you could do well in one area without having a strong brand. You could do well in digital kind of growth marketing without a strong brand. In fact, that was what was so exciting about it. Like, you could do, you know, those crappy SEO tricks, and, you know, and, yep. and suddenly you would outrank the New York Times, and you'd be, you know, like eHow was outranking, like, you know, these really authoritative websites, even though no one even really knew who was the creator of this, this content on eHow. And, you know, like, that's SEO, or, you know, email marketing, like online advertising, all this stuff could go direct to consumer, and it didn't really matter what the brand was. It was as long as you got there first. Was sort of the, but I think what happened and why my thinking has changed is that all of those algorithms have now been fully augmented with machine learning, artificial intelligence, which now takes into consideration consumer preferences. So I don't know, take search engine optimization, for example. Do you know what the most discriminating factor is in terms of whether or not someone is going to click on your link or not?
Awareness. I don't know.
We did tests. Okay, like we ran ad tests where, you know, to remarketing audiences versus to vanilla audiences, like people who had not heard of your brand versus people who had heard of your brand. Okay. And people were disproportionately 3, 4, 5 times more likely to click on your links if they had heard of you before in the past. Okay. So that's a sign of brand affinity, you know, brand experience, brand awareness. So I think what I'm trying to say is it's very hard in 2021 to be running digital advertising campaigns or SEO campaigns or social media campaigns where the success of those campaigns are based on user engagement scores, like click-through rates, when the single greatest prognosticator of whether or not someone will click and engage with that content or that ad is if they've heard of you in the past. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, if there's one thing that you could do that would instantaneously improve the performance of all of your digital marketing campaigns, whether it was SEO, organic, you know, paid AdWords, organic social, paid social, like even email marketing, like the visibility of your emails, like, you know, whether or not it gets displayed to you in your inbox or in your spam filter, that's all machine learning. It's like, it's whether or not you've engaged with that email in the past. Okay. So the single biggest thing that would help all your campaigns is to have a strong brand, because then that would dramatically increase people's propensity to further engage with those campaigns, which would then be recognized by those visibility algorithms that dictate whether or not people will see the stuff that you're producing or not, which, you know, also has this additional interesting impact, which it then says, well, if Larry engaged with this thing, it's got to be good. So let's show this content to all of Larry's friends. So the only way you can do this right, like the biggest growth hack in 2021 for direct response marketing is to grow your brand. Are you following me here?
Oh, I'm following you. You. If I had, and we're gonna be installing a soundboard, and I'm gonna have. You probably didn't know much about Southern Baptist Church, but they have, Amen, Hallelujah. The deacons in the choir, when the pastor would get in the pulpit and say something really amazing, the deacons would go Hallelujah from the back. And as a longtime brand marketer, nothing is more golden to my ears or to what I've been preaching for 20 years. And now having someone as an authority like yourself saying that the biggest growth hack in 2021 is branding goes down in the Radcast Hall of Fame. Whatever that's worth. It might be a t-shirt and a coffee mug, but you know, it's something.
You know, I did this weird experiment the other day where I artificially created a enormous influx of people searching for my brand. Okay. So like I can't tell you how, but the experiment was to get real people, not bots, like many, many, many thousands of real people around the world to conduct searches for the word Mobile Monkey, which is my company.
Yep.
And that increased the kind of the volume of searches for that term. Okay. okay. So here's the crazy part. That increased my SEO traffic for non-branded terms. Okay. Because it was a signal to Google that this must be a brand site. Okay. Because so many people are searching for that query, like that branded term. Okay. So this must be like the New York Times of the messaging space, as opposed to the eHow of the messaging space. You see what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
So it's just crazy little examples like that where build your brand, you'll build your direct response marketing.
I love it. Let's talk back now, getting back into Mobile Monkey more. I know it's your baby, so you probably don't mind talking about it a little bit, but yeah, and through the lens of, I feel like the messaging space, particularly SMS, definitely Instagram, which you guys are cracking the code on, is so underserved, underutilized, undermagnified as the channel, the communication channel. I think people think of social media and the power of social media, content, your engagement on content, but the holy grail of it all is the communication flow with customers and prospects and all those things that messaging, that communicate, direct communication enables. Talk about how much or how underserved you feel like particularly, you know, SMS and other channels are.
Well, first of all, I would estimate that only single digit, you know, 5-7% of companies even do any form of you know, messaging in terms of a core marketing channel. So like if you compare messaging with email marketing, which is kind of the opposite end of the spectrum where everyone does it, or content marketing, which I feel is you know, also pretty well represented. Messaging, on the other hand, is still in its infancy, and you need to understand like why on earth would that be if the case if people spend so much time on their mobile devices, so much time in WhatsApp and Instagram and Messenger, like more so than social media. And I think the answer is because it's just a pain in the ass. Like, it's just, imagine if I told you, guys, we need to have a website, a mobile website, and now we also have to have a kind of a Messenger experience, an Instagram experience, a web chat experience, an SMS experience, blah, 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 and so on and so on. So it's just, there's just so much fragmentation, okay, with these different channels. They're all very, very important. It's not like advertising on Bing, which was sort of like a check the box kind of thing. Like these are bona fide, like real messaging channels that are used by gazillions, okay, like literally billions of people, and it's just hard for marketers to cover all those bases. And so, what I think Mobile Monkey does, which is so interesting as a platform, is that it kind of disintermediates the underlying chat platform. So it just provides a messaging interface, and you can talk in an automated or manual way with your customers, whether it be on SMS or web chat or WhatsApp or Instagram or Facebook Messenger. And we keep adding more communication platforms, hopefully several more, like over the next few quarters.
Do you think we've reached this point, the text message inbox was kind of like this sacred cow, I feel like, 5-10 years ago. Like, you know, people just didn't want anyone touching it other than who you texted with. It was very different than the email inbox, right? It was very much more personal thought of. I feel like we've started to cross into this threshold, or maybe we've broken right through it, that there's more acceptance from consumers now with brands and with that communication approach through the text message inbox. Is that safe to say?
I think overwhelmingly, people would love to hear from the brands and individuals that they care about. And conversely, they really get these very emotional reactions to receiving content information from the brands and people they don't know or don't care about. Hence, going back to our original growth hack of the century, of the decade, which was to build brand affinity. There's plenty of evidence to suggest that this is true, because the open rates on these things are remarkably high, an order of magnitude higher than email engagement. And so, if people really hated it so much, why are they
opening it?
and you could say, well, maybe it's because we're tricking them. Maybe it's because we're tricking them by triggering a notification on their phone, and they need to know, they've been trained to check those notifications. But then I would just say, well, then why are the subsequent engagement rates, like click-through rate and read rate, so high, like also an order of magnitude higher than email marketing? So yeah, I think you're right. I think people are open to receiving messages through texting or through the various messaging platforms, with the caveat that, provided that it's from the businesses and individuals that people care about. And so from that perspective, I would not be looking to develop a top of funnel kind of, awareness campaign on the backs of SMS or Instagram marketing. Like, this is more of a lower funnel kind of like conversion greasing type of communication channel that is substantially more effective than anything else out there.
How are you building brand for Mobile Monkey? I know you said the test you did that you can't share exactly how you did it, but how do you think about branding for Larry Kim, for that matter? I know you're getting more engaged, it seems like, with some of your DM tests and things like that. And maybe that's just by the nature of the business. But how do you go about thinking about building brand for Mobile Monkey?
You really have to. There's direct response marketing, and then there's this other field of brand marketing. And it's just a different school. And it's not an area that I necessarily consider myself to be an expert in. But you know, we do bring in people to examine sort of how we're treating the brand and what we want to know be known for, and then amplifying that, those messaging through display ad campaigns, through social advertising campaigns, etc.
Would you ever consider mass media, or have you?
That's next. I mean, that's really the next logical space. You know, in reality, these digital marketing platforms have become way too expensive for top of the funnel brand advertising. Like, just if you know, these cost per clicks on Facebook ads or Instagram ads or Google ads, they go up by, you know, double digit percentages every quarter. So if the economics of those ads haven't broken down for you yet, they will most certainly break down, you know, maybe a quarter from now, you know, 2 quarters from now. And if you can't get it to work on, I guess what I'm saying is, we've come full circle. It used to be that I was so excited about these digital platforms because I could get my brand out there for nothing, like pennies.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was so much more effective and targeted, you know, than sort of more traditional, like, you know, radio or television or even like billboard or like just conventional, you know, non-digital advertising. And that's been the case for the larger part of a decade. But, you know, over the last 5-6 years, these costs have gotten so bananas that you absolutely have to be considering, you know, these other radio and, you know, other types of satellite radio, et cetera, to like Grant Cardone is advertising on CNBC on, you know, like on Sirius XM radio, like, right.
Yep.
So you absolutely have to be considering these because it's like the economics for trying to create new brand affinity among people who don't have pre-existing affinity with your brand through digital marketing is incredibly futile.
Yes. I got two letters for you. P&R. PR is the holy grail in 2021. I know you're doing some of that with your Inc. magazine, writing other things, coming on this podcast in a way. But I think that is the kind of, I'm not ready to say that TV is coming back alive because it's changing so much, but connected TV and other sources, but I'll leave you with.
you know, that's so interesting. So the way that WordStream got on the map, okay, it was, I think 2011 or 2012, it was one PR campaign. Okay, seriously, the way that WordStream got on the map was one PR campaign. And that was around the time of the Facebook IPO in 2011. And you can Google this. Everyone was talking about it. The whole world was talking about the Facebook IPO. And I just published some data showing that, you know, these Facebook ads, they're kind of crappy. They were like ads at the times. Like, it was like they get people to like your page. Okay.
Yeah.
And I just compared sort of the return on investment for like ads versus like these other more powerful Google search ads that existed at the time. Okay. So it was kind of like a head-to-head matchup comparing, you know, these crappy Facebook ads, which have gotten a lot better with search ad technology at the time. And it just showed that Facebook was a joke. And that story, okay, I published it 3 days before the Facebook IPO. It got something like 11,000 press pickups. So like, you know, just you can search for this. Like, it was on, you know, AFP, it was on Reuters, it was on, you know, CNN, I was on Fox Business, I was on NPR, BBC, like just talking about, like, you know, how these ads aren't that great. That generated a total of 6 million links from reputable sites to our website over the course of 2 weeks. Okay. And then from there, the strategy was just to monetize those links by publishing content. So you're absolutely right. You know, so when you're thinking of what's the ultimate way, and to build your brand. It's PR, but as I said earlier, 99% of the stuff goes nowhere, right?
Yeah.
So it's these one in a million, one in a thousand kind of PR campaigns that really, really stick, where you kind of just, you just are there at the right time, at the right place with the right story. All right. And those can really, really just change your fortunes, forever.
Yep. It's incredible. If we wind down here, Larry, really appreciate your time, your insight, a lot of nuggets here. What's the future hold? I'm sure you've got a crystal ball behind your back there somewhere, but where are we headed? We're growing Mobile Monkey. We're adding new platforms. We're taking it to new realms. We're going to sell it for $300 billion at some point or whatever. what are we doing? Where do you want to be in 20 years? Where's Larry Kim? Are we going to ride into the sunset, or are you just going to keep building things?
It's hard to say. I can see on one hand a great future ahead for this company, and on one hand there's a company called SEM Rush that, they hustled for a decade and they just went public earlier this year, and it's like a multi-billion-dollar business, okay, publicly traded, and I think that would be a really interesting journey. On the other hand, can also see that this is a valuable piece of real estate in terms of like just messaging functionality, which appears to have been forgotten by a lot of major marketing and sales platforms. And so we do get quite a few inquiries about, partnership or acquisition. And, so that could also, possibly happen. You never really know. I'm just happy doing what we're doing. I'm very excited for this Instagram stuff, I'm hoping that this can be like a really valuable communication platform for individuals and businesses that leverage that platform for getting their content out there.
Where can everybody keep up with all things Larry Kim and Mobile Monkey?
We do a lot of email marketing. We send out a lot of emails and newsletters, including, all the content that we produce, that I produce. Just going to the website and signing up for that newsletter, because it we curate that. Like, we don't send out emails for every one of the articles. It's like only the good stuff that's kind of proven itself to do well. We kind of publish stuff and see how it does, and then we round up the best stuff. That's one way. I'm on all the different social media platforms, and I have a messaging business, so all of the messaging channels are tied into my app, and I get all the messages. So you can try messaging me through Messenger or Instagram, and we'd be happy to chat.
I can speak for him. I reached out to him on Instagram. He had his Messenger set up, and then he agreed to come on our podcast. And I'm a fan of the platform. I'm excited about where it's going to go with Instagram, having the following that we have there. But I really appreciate all your insight in coming on today, Larry.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Hey guys, you know where to keep up with us. We're at theradcast.com and at the.rad.cast on Instagram. I'm at Ryan Alford on all the platforms, even on TikTok, baby. You can find me there. And we'll see you next time on The Radcast.
Yo guys, what's up? Ryan Alford here. Thanks so much for listening. Really appreciate it. But do us a favor. If you've been enjoying The Radcast, you need to share the word with a friend or anyone else. We'd really appreciate it. And go leave us a review at Apple or Spotify. Do us a solid. Tell more people. Leave us some reviews. And hey, here's the best news of all. If you want to work with me directly, if you want to get your business kicking ass and you want Radical or myself involved, you can text me directly at 864-729-3680. Don't wait another minute. Let's get your business going. 864-729-3680. We'll see you next time.